early goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Welcome guys to this episode of The Talk. I'm Joshua and with me here is my friend Williams.
Hey everybody.
Okay, so based on our last podcast, some few things happened that we expected and some happened that we didn't expect. So we're here today to cover up the latest headlines and discuss and give our opinions based on what happened. And with that, we'll be beginning with the Premier League. And the favorite topic and the most talked about topic right now, the FA Cup final. Okay, so Williams, what do you say about that?
Well, I don't know about anyone else or the people listening, but I actually expected Leicester to win the FA Cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I expected them to win. Not that Chelsea is not good. Chelsea has been good, but I feel like Leicester were fighting for more than just the trophy.
Okay.
You know, they were fighting. Like, there was this tweet I saw one time on Twitter that the Leicester players were aiming to win the FA Cup, you know, in memory of their...
Okay, their
owner, yeah,
who died.
Died, yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like they wanted the FA Cup just a little bit more than Chelsea did. So that's why I expected them to win.
I would say I will support you on that because based on what we said the last time, I can also remember that I said that the only chance that Leicester might have had to have won it would be through the penalty shootout.
Yeah.
What's really Telemann's goal? What do you say about that goal?
It was unexpected. I mean, nobody expects that kind of goal. You know, in matches like that, because from the onset of the match, Chelsea they were having a lot of possession.
Yes.
And they were seeing the ball more often. But then, you know, that happened, and the goal came in, and Leicester they defended well enough, although they did concede a goal which was later ruled out by VAR for offside, but they saw out the 1-0. And I know some some fans are saying that the goal shouldn't have counted. No, Telemann's goal shouldn't have been counted because of a handball offense by I cannot remember the player, but there was a handball offense before the ball came to Telemann's.
Yes.
And yeah, so some people were saying that should have been ruled out. Some people were saying that, you know, the goal that Chelsea had in the should have not been ruled out.
But that's all down to the VAR, because we all know that throughout the season they have missed calls, they have set fans ablaze. What can we say? Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Okay, so this time around, it was not in favor of Chelsea fans, so
yeah.
We have to live with that.
Yeah.
But we have to give it to them. Leicester actually tried. They actually performed well, beyond my expectation, to hold Chelsea down after coming ahead from 1-0. That is something I remember to really give them credit for.
Right.
So, for what does he hold for Chelsea now, for Tuchel? What do you think is the next step for him? Because they lost to Arsenal. And they say that, okay, that wasn't an important match because they're saving their players for the final. And then they lost the final again. And now, with Liverpool, where Liverpool is, the race for the top four now seems a little bit desperate for them.
Yeah, okay.
What do you say for Chelsea now?
Well, they have a lot to do, you know, at this point in time. They are not as comfortable as they were before.
Yeah.
So, they have to win their remaining matches in the Premier League. They're playing Leicester again on Tuesday. So they have to win that match. They have to win all their matches to be sure of
qualification.
To be sure of qualification.
And you see them winning Leicester in this next game?
they should win Leicester in this next game. They should win Leicester, not by a big margin, maybe by a 1-0 or maybe a 2-1. Or they could probably even draw.
Because that's actually what I see.
They could probably even get a draw.
And so, with that happening, things are going to turn around for everybody.
So right now, I feel that their only assurance
for the Champions League spot.
For Champions League spot is winning the Champions League final
against
Manchester City.
Okay.
So that's yeah, nice. they are in a tough spot, and they just need to win.
I recall telling you something about if Tuchel goes on to lose Champions League final and then win the FA Cup,
yeah,
and let's say he drops out of the Champions League spot, that you have this kind of similar season with Arteta.
Yeah.
And now they have lost the FA Cup and they're playing Leicester for a spot in the Champions League now in the top four. And if they should go on to kind of lose.
Okay. Yeah.
So do we still see Tuchel as having a successful season? Like since we haven't played final yet, but we call it a successful season for them if they should lose to Leicester next match.
Well, I don't know if I would call it a success. I would just call it, an average season.
An average season.
Yeah.
You think they'll sack him?
No. I don't think they'll sack him. I think they'll still keep him, for the next season to see how he progresses. So if they were to eventually sack him, it would be if, during the next season, up to the halfway point of the next season, they don't have a standard performance, a serious group on top four, that sort of thing. But if, they keep him until next season and he has a place in top four next season, by the halfway point he has a place in top four, he's progressing in the FA Cup, progressing in EFL Cup, I feel like they will keep him on for a very,
to give him a second chance,
a lengthy time.
Okay, so moving on from Chelsea, let's look at Liverpool, our previous champions. What would you say about Liverpool? Because right now, we all know that the hope of them not reaching the final and reaching Champions League for next season, in here it was kind of clear to everybody that they might not. But now things have changed, and we can see that. Oh, let's talk about the last match against West Brom.
Yeah,
Alisson's goal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something out of the heart. Let's put it like that. No one expected that. And that puts them in a very, very strong contention for the Champions League spot. Do you see them as an overthrowing Liverpool, Leicester or Chelsea for that top four spot?
That's what I'm still saying. So, if for anybody to be sure of their top four spots, besides Manchester United and Manchester City, for anybody to be sure of top four spots, they have to win all their games,
the last two games, yeah.
Hope that hope that the others in contention lose their games. So everybody's fighting it out.
Yeah, but for Liverpool now, they are quite different on the other hand, because it's a struggle between three clubs: Leicester, Chelsea, and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And luckily for them, Leicester has two more games to go, and Liverpool have what? Chelsea has two more games to go, but Leicester and Chelsea are playing in one of those games. So that means one of them will drop points, and Liverpool now has a chance to win their two games. So using this West Brom game, because Premier League is Premier League, and definitely you can still lose to a small club. Liverpool has showed us so many times. Arsenal has showed us. So do you think that Liverpool will seriously have contention for this? Do you see them as firm favourites over Leicester and Chelsea?
Well, it all depends on winning their games, like I said. So because even if Leicester and Leicester or Chelsea lose to each other, there's no guarantee that Liverpool might win their next match. Or if Leicester and Chelsea draw, there's no actual guarantee that Liverpool is going to win. So Liverpool have to win, and then hope that this Leicester Chelsea game is enough to propel them into the top four spot. Otherwise,
who would have said champions now struggling for the top four? The Premier League and its wonders.
Yeah.
Last but not least, for our Premier League coverage, we're going to look at Arsenal. Okay, so I haven't heard about this league before. I had to do a bit of research before we even did this, and believe me, as an Arsenal fan, I would really say I'm really shocked because at the beginning of the season, I'm definitely sure that some of you guys listened to the previous podcast for we did at the beginning of the season, and I really put us up there for top four. Surprisingly, someone told me 56, and I laughed at the person. I was like, Arsenal is there for top four.
Yeah.
But now they are struggling for seventh with West Ham, Everton, and Tottenham. And the qualification of seventh gives you the Europa Conference League, a league that most of us have not heard of before.
Yeah.
And the club I saw there, man, I'm not sure that even Fulham has played in those clubs before. Sorry to say, no insults intended. But like, what do you see? Like, do you see it as a good thing for Arsenal to qualify for the Conference League? Is it a good thing to you?
I don't know if it's a way for them to get back into Europe's top competitions, like, you know, the Europa League or the Champions. If it's a way for them to get back into the Europa League or the Champions League, well then I'm all for it.
But that only applies if Arsenal doesn't make the top six next season and they go on to win the Conference League.
Yeah.
So that means, from what you're saying now, you're saying that if it's a way that gives them Europa League qualification, that is by them winning it, then it's all for them. So you don't still see Arsenal making it to the top six for next season?
for next season, well, I've been hearing that the owners of Arsenal are going to be pumping in
some cash.
So if this transfer, if the transfer window goes well for Arsenal and they sign a couple of good players, and you know they strengthen their team, well then next season should be a good one for them. So yeah, next season they have a chance, you know, of being in the top six. Yeah, they have the chance next season.
Who would have ever thought that the time will come when they'll give Arsenal a chance of being in the top six? Okay, with that we move on to the Serie A. Not much to talk about here, but the most interesting aspect is what AC Milan drawing with Cagliari and putting pressure on themselves for the top four race. Now, unexpectedly, things happen. Okay, yes, things happen. And we're having Inter with top spots. Mm-hmm. Atlanta on second position.
Yeah.
AC Milan on third, right? And Napoli fourth with Juventus fifth.
Surprising.
And AC Milan's next fixture, and their last fixture, because they have played 7 games, one more.
Yeah.
Their last fixture is against Atlanta, who is second. And Napoli is playing... Okay, sorry. Juve is playing Bologna, and Napoli is playing Hellas Verona. So, when you look at that, do you think AC Milan will be able to qualify for the Champions League? Because right now, from the fixtures that they're going to play, we see Juve are actually favourites against Bologna.
Yeah.
And Napoli, I think they will come up against Hellas Verona. Yeah. Do you think AC Milan will be able to make it out, will be able to keep their spot by beating Atlanta and staying in the Champions League?
Atlanta, they're not a small team in the Serie A.
They're second position, for goodness sake.
It's going to be hard for it's probably going to be hard for AC Milan to, you know, win against Atlanta. So I feel like it's a close contest game. I don't know if Juventus will be able to get into the top four and qualify for Champions League, even, you know, with their last game being against Bologna. Because we've seen throughout this season that Juventus have lost against some clubs that they were favourites to win. Yeah. So, well, we just have to wait. We just have to wait. We cannot predict such, you know, final day fixtures.
It's always down to the wire.
It's always down, exactly. So, you know, we cannot predict.
All right.
Guys. Yeah.
Want to make your own podcast? Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Now you can create, edit, host, and share your podcast to your favorite listening platforms. Download the Anchor app on Google Play Store or your Apple Store today.
All right, and that brings us to the French League, League One, where the battle for top spots goes down to the wire on final day between PSG and Lille. Okay, I know this was kind of a shit on Arsenal fans, but you have to give Lille, as well, you have to give them respect where it's due, because they sold Nicolas Pepe.
Yeah.
75 million, one of their best players. They sold Victor Osimhen.
Mm-hmm.
65 million, one of their best players. And they sold Gabriel to Arsenal again. they sold all their best, most of their promising talents.
Yeah.
And they're on their way to win the league. From PSG, who we all know have been buying players and have not been selling, and they actually have world-class players.
Yeah.
So, like, we know we all talked about this, we laughed about it, and said PSG this, PSG that, but really, like, we need to give Lille their respect. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, well, like you said, it's down to the final day, so they just have to hold their, you know, hold their heads together and see it through. I mean, it would be a very massive, you know, season for them if they're able to
win it.
And then, you know, it'd be a big blow to PSG, because I mean, you're PSG. This should not be happening when you're in the league.
No, but we call them the Farmers League because no one else competed with them. But now someone's competing. Shouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing for us.
Neutral.
But for us neutral, but it's not a good thing for PSG fans, because they're losing their trophy.
And Mbappe recorded 40 goals this season. Like,
you know, all exactly their goals and their top performances in certain matches, all wasted, kind of. But you know, it's still up for grabs. It's still up for grabs. Maybe they can pull off a last day miracle, and you know, Lille might have a bad day, but you know, we just have to watch and see.
Whenever I think of all these final days, these last days, winning the title, the last days, I always remember that Zaguero. That was good. When Aguero clinched the title for Man City. Like, those are kind of memories that you cannot forget, no matter how you want to put it. Like,
Exactly. So that's exactly how it's going to be for PSG and Lille. You know, that final day, this side will be waiting for this side, you know, to hear news from this side.
Yeah.
So if PSG scores, Lille will be like, okay, we need to score. We need to score. that kind of environment.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's this kind of thing that the players will not forget.
The players will not forget
that kind of occurrence.
Everything down to the last day. And like, then you get to win it by winning your match. How would the crowds were there? Because
I've seen
the FA Cup, for example. The experience we got from the crowds being available to witness their club.
Yeah.
It left so many points, yes. That was very nice. And that same thing applies to the Spanish League. Okay, yes, we know the Barcelona blew it. Their last loss. How surprising. Like, how'd that come out?
I have no idea. I mean, one day we're saying, you know, Barcelona, exactly, they have a title shot. And the next minute we're like, ooh, it's just left with the Madrid stars, you know.
Three games to go, you draw one, you lose one. What do you expect?
I don't know. So now we are left with Atletico and Real. You know, it's a Madrid thing.
as usual, I say, Madrid divided.
Yep.
On the final day.
On the final day.
Looking up to the sky, wondering whether it's going to be Real or is it Atletico.
Hey man, it's football, man.
That's football for you.
It's football.
But really, like, who do you support for the final?
Well,
the final day.
Yeah, I am going to be biased. Yeah. I am definitely going to be biased. I'm going to go for Real Madrid to, you know, win their game and hope that Atleti lose their game. no offense to Atleti fans out there.
No offense to Atleti fans out there.
But you know, Real Madrid, yeah, I would want Real Madrid to win the game.
So I won't say I want Real Madrid, because I know that for a very long time I haven't supported them all throughout the Ronaldo era.
Yeah.
Like, I was not one of their biggest fans, and that's still applies to now. But I stand with Atletico on this. I feel like they have really gone through it, and Real Madrid are, after all, they are the current title holders. So
yeah.
Let's me only have something to celebrate about.
I mean, the thing with Atletico is that, like, from the onset, you know, I saw them as favorites.
Yeah.
Right, from the onset of the season, I saw them as favorites, and they actually were favorites. There was
they nearly blew it.
Yeah, there was a time they had like this 10-point
gap
between first place and the rest, you know, second, third, exactly. And then somehow we are here at the end of the season, and it's just 1 point. I mean, or 2 points.
Kudos to them that they managed to not lose it completely, because the last game was quite something.
Yeah,
scoring 84 and 88.
That kind of thing.
And
now
it all boils down to who Suarez. So 7 million Williams, 7 million. Barca sold a player of that quality to rival 7 million.
Let's just hope that, you know, he's able to have like a performance on the last day that clinches the trophy for them.
I've been thinking about this for a while now. If you were asked now,
mm-hmm,
in the Europe's Big Five leagues,
yeah,
to call the signing of the season, who you narrow it down to? Like, take your time. Like, think about it. From Cavani, who came to mind for free and is pushing them to win the Europa League, to Ruben Dias, who came... Okay, I mean, that was quite a lot of money. But he came in and he helped Manchester solidify their defense and push them to the Champions League final, the EFL Cup final, and to win the league. It's almost a treble.
Yeah, almost.
And we're talking about the likes of Suarez that have pushed Atletico to win the league, and now down to the final. There, we know that he, by scoring 20 goals this season, that's not easy.
No, it's not.
He's really the one that's carrying them there. Then you go down to other teams, like maybe, let's say, Chelsea. Okay, you know, they put off so many signs and it's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Who will you take it as?
Man, this is one situation where I would not want to be biased. You know, I said in the previous podcast, I'm a Man City fan. So I mean, it would be easy for me to say that based on my club and our team, you know, Ruben Dias was like a really good signing to strengthen our defense. But then when you look at it, I would probably say Cavani. Yeah, because like he's just good in bringing out, let's say, the best from Manchester United's midfielders, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, he's always in this position to score, even when they bring him from bench.
Yeah.
He's always in this position to score, and not just score, he gives nice passes too.
Yeah.
So like he has been a game changer for Manchester United this few games he has played, you know, since he came, even in the Europa League. So I would pick Cavani.
But that begs to ask, like, why do you feel Solskjaer decided to bench him beginning of the season, and was it to give Martial a chance?
I have no idea what goes on in the minds of coaches.
That's by the way. The last but not the least, the Bundesliga, Lewandowski has matched Gerd Müller's record of 40 goals, and he still has one more game to play. So yeah, it's a very, very high chance of him smashing that record.
The goal machine.
Like, it would have been the perfect mix if he was a German. Like, you could call him a German goal machine. But we cannot say the Polish. It sounds somehow, sorry to say. But yeah, the goal machine.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing links of him leaving. okay, the records is a very outstanding feat. That's right now, if Emre Tosar Lewandowski, he's right now his world best player. Okay, he's supposed to be the world best player.
Yeah.
Okay, he's Europe's best player right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And everyone is always talking about him and his goals. But like, do you see any other thing that he adds to the game apart from just the goals?
Well, that's the thing. To win a game, you need goals.
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
To win a game, you need goals. So, I mean, if you're playing a game and let's say both teams have strong attacks and let's say weak defenses, it will all boil down to
who can score more. Yeah.
So that kind of thing, in that sort of situation, you would need someone like Lewandowski, who is the goal machine. So, I mean, like I said, it's goals that win the game. So, I will not assume, but let me pick out when they played PSG.
Yeah.
You know, the two rounds, I think, that they played PSG in the Champions League. Yeah, they played without him, and they could barely match up. Exactly, yeah, they could barely match up with PSG. So, like, Lewandowski, he actually has a key role in Bayern's team. Yeah, I mean, no, I don't see Choupo-Moting doing as good as exactly doing giving a good finishing job like Lewandowski.
Not possible.
I don't see that happening. And 40 goals, man.
Like, kudos to him. Like, he really deserves it. Like, would I say, towards the end of the last match, like, I think they should hand me a shirt printed with
something
40, so like, yeah, to commemorate the event of him. I know he's
matching
going to break
up. Yeah,
he's going to break
exactly
it.
On that last day.
I feel like my most scoring hat trick is the one who scored 5 in 9 minutes. So what can we say?
Yeah.
All right, we come to the end of our episode.
Yeah.
And we're glad for all you who took your time out to listen to us blabble about what we just feel, because actually it's just what we feel.
Yeah.
And this is thanks from Williams and from Joshua.
Yeah.
So, we hope to see you guys next episode.
In the next episode.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, bye.